Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Let me ask you a question while you're turning there. What would you say the call of Abraham, the call of Moses, the call of Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho, the call of these men, what would you say every one of them have in common? There is one common denominator when you look at the life of Abraham and you look at the life of Moses and you look at the life of Joshua and many, many more in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it's this. It was the call of God to a man or to a people to obey him and to do what he says. You know, in the world that you and I live in, there is not a lot of premium that is placed on biblical obedience. If it feels good to obey, then obey. But if it's not that, doesn't feel that good to obey, then you just do whatever feels good. That's what the world says. But has it ever dawned upon you the benefits of obeying the Lord? When you look at the men in the Bible, and some women in the Bible as well, you will be amazed and you'll find that they became what they became. They became men and women of excellence because of the price they put on, the premium they put on obedience. Now, the world around us says that, you know, if you're going to obey and if you're going to obey God, well, that's really trivial and that's insignificant. Nothing is further from the truth. You look at the life of Moses, you look at the life of Abraham, you look at the life of Joshua, and you will find these men of excellence. You'll find their men who their names are remembered through the annals of time. You'll find their individuals in whom they made it their business in the most difficult of situations to obey the living God. Now, sometimes somebody will say, well, that was then, but what about now? Here's the wonderful truth of the nature of God. Times change. Environment may change to some degree, but here's the reality of the nature of God. Our God is a sovereign, unchanging, and unchangeable God. What does that mean? That means that what God did 4,000, 6,000 years ago, back at the very beginning of time, He will do, He must do today because He is an unchanging God. So whenever there is a person, whenever there is a people, whenever there is a church that makes it their business to obey the living God, God doesn't want you and me to be left to the imagination what He will do in our lives. As a matter of fact, God takes great space in His Word to tell you what you can expect if you will pay the price for a lifetime to obey the living God. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. It's different from just saying, well, I'll obey God here, but I won't obey God there. There needs to be a heart set, a mindset, where you will make it your business for the rest of your life to obey God. When it's easy, when it's not easy, when it's difficult, and when it becomes convenient. But I want you to follow along with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The backdrop is Moses is telling the second generation what they need to remember when they enter into the promised land. This God that gave them their existence would not forget them. And he makes it very clear in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14 what they can expect if they are willing to obey the living God. And I want to say this before I read. These are things that you can expect in your home life, in your family life, and we can expect in the life of this fellowship when we will always pay the price to obey the living God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then listen to the blessings. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee from thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee, an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all peoples of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain upon the land to, in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after any other gods to serve them. In these 14 verses, God is telling through Moses, the generation that is getting ready to walk into the promised land, Moses is saying to them, preaching to them, I am telling you what you can expect if you'll make it your business to walk in obedience to God. Moses is so specific and so clear in these verses because the people of God need to understand that this God who created us hasn't created us and left our lives to happenstance or to chance, but in reality, he promises his blessings if we obey. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. As I said just a moment ago, this God who spoke this to his servant Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses wrote these, and they became compiled as the book of Deuteronomy, is a changeless God. What that means is this. The same God says the same thing today to any man, to any woman, to any person that will pay the price of obedience. And I want to share with you this morning, and I pray you'll remember it for the rest of your life, the benefits of obeying God. There are some people who just think, well, you know, Christianity, you know, it's just sort of a life of chance. Maybe you'll be blessed. Maybe you won't be blessed. Or some people think, well, you know, there's just some people God has that he's going to bless and some other people he's not going to bless. Nothing is further from that truth, from the truth. I mean, that's as far from the truth as you can imagine. God makes it very clear in his word. He says, I'm going to tell you the life that I will bless. It is a life that remembers my commands. And I want to share with you this morning, and I hope you'll get your outline out and follow along, because some principles you and I need to remember that will happen. Just as sure as I'm standing in front of you and speaking to you, just as sure as the rain falls, just as sure as gravity is always at work all of the time, these are things that you can expect to come into your life if you will always pay the price of obeying the living God. Now, sometimes somebody will say something like this. Well, I know so-and-so, they went to church for a long time, and they're in an emotional mess, they're maybe bankrupt, or they're facing this problem or that problem. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you obey the living God. Just because you name the name of Christ doesn't mean that you're obeying God on a daily basis. And so there is a deliberate act and action on your part and my part that we have to be willing to do every day of our life whenever it comes to the benefits of obeying God and following his word. And when you look at the life of Abraham and look at the life of Moses and look at the life of Joshua, just three of those, God put them in situations that they had to make a decision. Am I going to obey God or am I not? Am I going to do what God told me to do or am I not? The rest of their life was contingent upon, hinged on what they would do if they obeyed God. So I want you to follow along in this outline, because there are some things you and I need to understand and we need to know. Now, somebody would ask this question, well, why is it that God blesses obedience? Well, simply put, God wants to show you and me what he places a premium on. Sometimes somebody will say, well, I just don't think that that's for everybody. Listen, God has not changed. He will never change. Anybody that will pay the life and pay the price to obey God will be blessed. So first and foremost, there are some things, benefits, that happen in your life and my life if we're going and if we choose to obey God. First and foremost, the Bible makes it clear that God is pleased. You know, when God talked about blessing his people, he gave them two responsibilities. First and foremost, he said they were to listen to his voice. In other words, when you look at the very first verse, he says not just to audibly listen. You know, sometimes we men are guilty of hearing, but we don't listen. You know what I'm talking about, men? You hear the audible sound. And sometimes my wife will come back to me and she'll look at me. She said, now, did you hear what I just said? And I will try to do my best to figure out what she said real quick, because she knows I am caught dead to rights. Because she heard me, but I heard her, but I didn't listen. There is one thing to hear. It's another thing to listen, to pay attention. You know what pay attention means? Literally, it means that you pay the price to engage your mind and not let your mind wander so you can absorb it for yourself. And that's exactly what God told the children of Israel. He said, first and foremost, you have to first pay attention. Listen to the commands of God. Listen to what the commands of God are to your life. You say, well, what do you mean paying attention? Well, whenever God gives a directive, don't you think he expects you to obey it? Sure he does. Let me give you one example. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that the word of God? Say amen. Does God mean that verse? Amen. So what does that mean? That means that I am to do to every other person across the pathway of life, because that's what he says. And so what God told the children of Israel, first of all, you listen to my voice. And you see, there's a lot of people who hear something, but they don't listen. And that's why they're in a mess. That's why they're in all sorts of trouble. That's why they're in all sorts of chaos. And second of all, he told them, he said, you're to observe and do. In other words, if I listen to the word of God, if I listen to God speak to me through his word, just like that verse that you just quoted out loud, I can listen to that verse, but I have to put it into action. I have to put it into action every day, every place, everywhere I go. And you see, the issue is, am I going to make a decision to observe and to obey and to do? And you see, the reality of it is, a lot of times people will listen to the commands of God and say, I don't want to obey that command. Do you know what you're saying when you don't want to obey a command of God? First of all, you're wanting to say, I want to be rebellious. When you put yourself in a position to rebel against the living God, you put him in a position to have to deal with you. There's a lot of people, and I know a lot of saved people, that their life is in a hell on earth. Why? Because somewhere along the way, they said, I'm not going to obey God. I could care less what the word of God says. Now, they don't say that out loud. But when you say a verse of scripture, you know, they just sort of slough it off like it's not that big a deal. Listen, the word of God is a big deal every day of your life. And that's exactly what God says in his word. That's why he gives you and me directives. And that's why the children of Israel oftentimes, listen, you study the children of Israel, they oftentimes blew it and they missed out on the best of God's blessings. Why? Because God wanted them to? No. Because they absolutely devastated their lives by disobedience. And you see, when Israel followed the commands of God, one powerful truth was evident. You know, God was pleased. Now listen to me real carefully. Imagine this thought for a moment. The sovereign of the universe is pleased with your life. But he's not just pleased with any old life. He is pleased with a life that is devoted to, dedicated to, serious about obedience. And listen, now I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say this. A lot of believers are just not real serious about obedience. I believe I need to own a Bible. I believe I need to have a Bible. But getting into that Bible and reading it and opening it and studying it, The truth about it is there's a lot of people that's not serious about obedience. Let me give you an example. We're not serious about keeping our expenditures in check. Do you know the indebtedness for our country is $2.2 trillion? That's what people are in debt in the country. And you see, what God says in His Word is this. When you choose to obey God deliberately, there's a lot of things that He causes to happen in your life. Think about this. You're living your life, you're obeying God, and it ought to be that every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, it ought to be at any time you can say this, Lord, to the best of my human ability, I'm trying to obey you. To the best of my ability, I'm loving my wife. Now, if you can't say that, husbands, then you need to confess, you need to repent, because God's not giving you a wife by accident. And you can't treat her any old way and expect God to be pleased with your life. Sadly, that's the way a lot of times it is. A husband treats his wife and they've been married for a long time and, well, she understands me. Listen, you're going to stand before God in the judgment and you're going to give account how you treated your wives and wives same way toward your husband. But when you live in obedience to God, there is that inner joy. There's that joy of a clean, clear conscience. There's that freedom from guilt. There's that promise that, listen, God will give you the desires of your heart. Now think about this for a moment. You're living and pleasing God, and the Bible says in Psalms 37:4, if you delight in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now you say, Pastor, what's that saying? That's saying exactly what it's saying. You obey the living God, you live your life in obedience, and you will have the desires of your heart. You and I heard testimony of that just about 10 minutes ago or 15. Mindy was in need of a vehicle. She wanted a vehicle. I mean, she didn't ask for a Cadillac, but she just needed a vehicle to go from point A to point B. And the Lord will honor your life. You see, here's the reality. The God of the universe is serious about blessing. He's serious about blessing you, but it is amazing how many people do not position themselves to be blessable. You know, God said, listen, God makes it clear. He said, I'm not going to bless any old life. Now, I want you to hear me real carefully. Don't you sit and think, well, you know what? I'm saved and I just don't understand why God don't bless me. Yeah, you understand. You know why. You look at your personal life. You look at your private life. You look at what you're doing in private. You know why God's not blessing you. You look at what you're engaging in privately that only the God of heaven knows about. And you can understand why God's not blessing you. And you see, you and I can expect God to be pleased. And you know, the thing about it is, God makes it His business. He told the children of Israel, I want you to understand that when you obey me, you're causing me to be pleased with you. I don't know about you, but there is no greater yearning, there's no greater enjoyment in life than to be able to sit or to be walking or to be enjoy this life and to know that, Father, as best I know, I'm trying to please you. I'm trying to walk with you. And it's amazing. Listen, don't you think God will move heaven and earth to bless your life? You better believe it. And I'll show you in just a moment. But here's the fact. First of all, God requires two things of your life. One, listen to Him. Second of all, do what He says. It's amazing that preachers miss it. It's amazing that people who have been in church for a long time miss it. God is never saying something accidental or casual and says, by the way, that was for them back 4,000 years ago. It is as much your responsibility and my responsibility to obey the living God today as it was to Moses and the children of Israel. And when you do, you are setting yourselves up for the blessings of God, and here they come. Well, look at number two. When you obey God, you can bank on it. Here start the blessings of God. Well, literally put, God sets in motion His plan of promotion and prosperity. Now, I want to say this at the very outset. Sometimes somebody will say, now, wait a minute, is that prosperity and health and wealth and all that? No, but I want you to understand. God is the one that said Deuteronomy 28. He is the one that gave it to Moses. He is the one that breathed it to the servant Moses. And He told Moses, you write it down, that when there is a people, when there is a person, when there is a man, when there is a woman, when there is a young person, I will set in motion from heaven to prosper them, to bless them, and I will initiate it, says the Lord. Because you stop and think about it, how can you bless yourself? You don't have the capability. You don't have the power. You don't have the power to bless your children. I mean, that they have a prosperous life, but that's what God says. And you see, God makes it very clear. And follow along. You know, He says, basically, he said, I will set you on high. Now, why does God promote those who obey? Let me say it again. He is showing to you what he places a premium on. There is one yearning, there is one desire in my heart until the day I breathe my last breath and the Lord God calls me home. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to have arrived. But here's the reality. It is my heart's yearning to obey day after day after day after day because it is obedience all throughout the annals of time that he has shown that he blesses. And you see, when you think about it for a moment, you know, and there's a phrase that he uses. He says, the Lord thy God will set thee on high. Look in chapter 28, and I want you to notice this verse for a moment. And he makes it very clear. In verse 1, the latter part of verse 1, look at it. God declares in his word, he says, I will make it my business to set you up on high. Now listen, listen very carefully. What if you obey God and he doesn't bless you? What if you obey God and do what he says and he doesn't bless you? You at that point could call God a liar because he has made it clear in his word, I will bless the man, bless the person, bless the life that honors me. Now, I want to give you a real interesting word. You can't find it in the King James because it's not there. It's in the original Hebrew from the word set. The word set is a very interesting word because here's what it literally means. God says, I will assign you blessings. I want you to write that down. God says, I will assign you blessings. What do you mean he'll assign me blessings? That's exactly what he means. When you pay the price to obey the living God, God will assign your personal life his blessings. Let me give you an example. I think about some preachers that if I named their names, you would know their names. But one preacher that I've read quite a bit of his life of, he's had such a hard childhood, difficult childhood. His dad died when he was just months old, had a stepfather that made life hell on earth for him. One time he said he even went to bed with a .22 in his hand because he didn't know but what he's going to have to kill his shoot or fight for his life because his dad was stepdad was abusive to his mother. But here is a man, from the time he was a young man, as he grew, he made it a commitment to obey God. And as he made a commitment to obey God, God prospered him. God promoted him. God blessed him. He became more popular. He became more known. And there is one thing about his life today. If you interviewed him, he would say it is his heart's desire to live and die obeying the living God. Born in obscurity, had a mother who worked two jobs in Richmond, Virginia. He said the worst day of my life was on Saturday because I didn't have anybody to play with and I was alone about all the time. But he made it his business to obey God. He made it his business as he got in the Word to learn to obey God day after day after day after day. And all of a sudden, God took him from Fairfield, Ohio to Miami, Florida. And then God finally let him land in Atlanta, Georgia. And you and I know him as Dr. Charles Stanley. He said, my life, to look back at my life. And he says, and he makes it very clear. Obedience has been the key that's unlocked all of the doors. And you see, here's the reality. If you will pay the price to obey God, if we obey God as a church, here's what God says. I will assign to you blessings. God, what's the blessings? Well, he goes on to tell you. But literally put, he says, I will assign. In other words, they will be initiated by the sovereign God. You won't have to try to do anything in your life. You just walk day in and day out obeying God. God will give you assignments of blessings. And God will put you in places. You'll be in situations. And I just think about two or three situations. You know, God revealed through the life of Abraham what would happen when a person obeyed him. Sometimes we glamorize Abraham. Abraham was a man like you and me. But he did what God said. He obeyed God and he was blessed. And Joseph. Joseph was accused by a woman of rape. But he stayed the course of obedience to God. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I say this to young people right now. If you're under 30, you're young. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to try to get you to drift from obedience. There's going to be somebody somewhere that's going to try to get you to deviate. The moment you deviate, you're in trouble because you've chosen to go against God. But second, God makes it very clear that he sets in motion. Do you hear that? He sets in motion. You don't have to do a single thing except obey God. Well, number three, God wants you to know that his blessings are certain. Now, where there is a life that's willing to obey God, God gives his divine authoritative word that he'll bring blessings. Now, if you look in verse 2 of chapter 28, I want you to look very carefully at the opening words and say these words with me. And all these blessings shall come on thee. Did you hear that? The sovereign God of the universe says, I want you to understand it is a divine certainty in your life that you can count the blessings are going to come. And you see, God made it clear, and you and I know that all scripture is God-breathed. And so God made it clear to the nation of Israel, and he says it to you and me, that he will lavishly. You say, well, why does God want to lavishly bless my life? Listen, there's no such thing as lavish in the sight of God. It's only lavish if it's beyond, you know, I mean, does God have from our vantage point, but the Bible says a cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the Bible says, is the Lord's. It's not a big deal for God to lavishly bless you. It's not a big deal for God to promote you. It's not a big deal, but here's the reality of it. God makes it clear in his word. He said, all these blessings will come. And you say, God doesn't want you to be left in the dark. He doesn't want you to think, well, if I obey God, you know, I guess I might get blessed. I wish I could tell you the number of people I've heard throughout my life, well, I hope God blesses my life. Listen, let me ask you a question. Parents, if you have an obedient son or daughter, don't you bless them? You better believe it. If they do what you say, listen, God says, I want you to understand these blessings are going to be certain, and the blessings are going to be specific. Number four. Listen, one question that needs to be answered is this. If God blesses, what are the blessings? I'm here to tell you, when you obey God, all you got to do is just stand back and watch what he does. I'll give you just a few examples. You know, there have been many situations in the life of our fellowship, and one example you know about when the Lord caused us to relocate here, you know, in those early days when, you know, God was growing the fellowship at Faith, and we didn't think we'd ever need another facility, and all of a sudden God opened a piece of property for us to buy, and it was this piece of property. And I thought, Lord, where's all the finances going to come from? You know, and the Lord did what he loves to do. He loves to bless. I recall Dr. Charles Stanley telling a story one time. He said, he's always made it his business never to say anything about money or any need of money on his program. And I've watched it for a few years now, a number of years, and that's one thing you'll never hear. One man called Dr. Stanley up one day, and he said, you know, I notice you never ask for any money. Do you need any money? Wouldn't you love that to happen to you? And they was getting ready to expand, and they was getting ready to... He said, well, yes, we do have some needs, and he'd been praying about the need, but he's made a commitment before God that he'll never get on TV and air it. He's getting on TV to preach and teach the Word of God. Well, long and short of it was, I don't know how much it was. It might have been a quarter of a million or half a million. It might have been even as much as a million. But anyway, that man gave to the ministry, gave to the kingdom's work a large sum of money. Now, listen carefully. Do you think God ever says anything by accident? No. God never says anything by happenstance, but you know what we do? We just sort of slough off the words of God as though we can't take them seriously sometimes. Listen, God makes it very clear. All these blessings will come upon thee. And so here's what he says. He says, first and foremost, he says, I promise I'll bless you in the city. Now, what does that simply mean? Well, the idea behind being blessed in the city is this. God will promote you. Listen, you don't ever have to promote yourself. No church ever has to promote herself. No person ever has to promote themselves. If you want the job God wants you to have, whether it comes in business or whatever, you never seek promotion. You seek to be obedient where you are, and God will make it his business to promote you. If you ever think you're going to lose your job because, you know, downsizing and all that, you leave that to the hands of the Father. Listen, he says, if you're my son, you're my daughter, you're living your life in obedience to me, I will make it my business to promote you. And listen, that's exactly what God does, and it's specific. And second of all, he says, I'll bless your finances. Now, you know, oftentimes we think, well, God, you know, I need some money. Now, if I ask you how many of you here need money, probably every one of you would raise your hand. How many of you have food in your cupboard? How many of you have a vehicle? How many of you can get from point A to point B? How many of you eat out at least one time a week? How many of you have a bed to sleep in? When you stop and think about that, a lot of times we don't have that many needs. But here's what God says. He says, I will make it my business to prosper your finances. And you see, why is God saying that? Because here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to live and die in obedience. I've known a lot of people in my lifetime, a lot of believers, but let me tell you this. I can't tell you I've known a lot of believers that live and die obeying God. If it violates the word of God, they won't do it. No, a lot of times they can be compromised into doing anything. It's amazing how many believers will compromise their faith away because somebody else says something or does something. Listen, there is something about that man or that woman who says, I will not compromise because this is obedience to the sovereign of the universe. There is something about that man. There is something special about that man and that woman. And so what God says is, you know, I'll bless your finances. Bless your finances, how? Now, I want you to answer this question. How many of you growing up ever thought you'd have what you have right now? How many of you growing up ever thought you would have what you have right now? You know, you maybe have a car or two. Oh, I never will forget that first car I had. It was a brand new car. Had 99,000 miles on it. My dad gave it to me. And he said, son, here's this Chrysler Newport. You take it. Put gas in it. And that car was about 50 feet long. At least it felt like it was. But it was my car. And that's where I did my dating. That's where I'd take it to the shop about every other week. But listen, stop and think about it. The blessings you've got. The blessings we've got. God said, I'll make it my business to bless you. And think about it, the blessings of God don't run out or wear out. The blessings of God don't get old. But God says, I will bless you. I'll bless your finances. Listen, God told the children of Israel three, if not four times, I'll bless your finances. I'll bless your finances. I'll bless your. Why? Because God wanted them to know, you make it your business to obey me and I'll bless your finances all throughout your life. And listen, David the king said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Listen, you get in a situation and you think, Lord, what am I going to do? Don't you ever forget you belong to the Father. Don't you ever forget that you're his son or you're his daughter. Third, God assures us that our children will be a blessing to us. Now think about it for a moment. You know, sometimes, I've seen some believers that their children are nothing but pain to them. But then you have to ask the question, what did you do when you brought them up? You teach your child the love of God. You respect your child. You respect your child's space. You'll be amazed how much they'll appreciate you. Listen to this psalm. It's in the Living Bible. I want to read it out of that translation. Blessings on all who reverence and trust the Lord, on all who obey him. Their reward will be prosperity and happiness. Your wife will be contented in your home, and look at all those children. There they sit around the dinner table as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. That is God's reward to those who reverence and trust him. I want to say that again. That is God's reward to those who reverence and trust him. May the Lord continually bless you with heaven's blessings as well as human joys. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren, and may God bless Israel. You know what God is saying? He said, listen, you reverence me and you let me take care of the rest. And some of us, as you go back, you can think in your life, man, your parents reverenced the Lord because you disrespected anything, they'd wear you half out. I think about what I heard a humorist say one time, and it's very true. He said he back-talked his mother, and his father told him, he'd said, "Son, we're not going to church tonight. I'm going to go home and half kill you." He said, "I learned what it is to be half killed." But you know what? He had a mom and a dad who believed in him and taught him the reverence of God. Listen to me real carefully. The problem we've got today is not a big problem. Let me tell you, the problem today can be handled in our country, in our land, in our homes, real simply. And it is simply this. Parents, you get back to obeying the sovereign God. Grandparents, you get back to obeying the sovereign God. If you violated His word, ask God's forgiveness. Say, "Lord, I'm going to take Your word up anew, and I'm going to be the parent. I'm going to be the grandparent. I'm going to be the person You've called me to be." And you see, that's what God told the children of Israel. That's what David said. You know, you'll look around the table and you'll see your kids, you'll see your grandkids, and you know what? You'll remember way back when. And how did God give you all this? Because you reverenced Him and you feared Him and you honored Him. Someday, some of us that are a little bit older are going to be gone. Some of you younger ones are going to rise up. But you never forget that God never bypasses obedience. He'll never bypass it. He'll never bypass your obedience. He'll never bypass anyone's obedience. And you see, He said, "I'm going to even reassure you of financial blessings." Why does God do that? Because there's more in the Bible about finances than there is anything else. Why? Because He knows it affects us. But here's what God says. You obey Me all throughout your life. And you see, a lot of the problems that haunt us, they're not God's doings. They're not God's doing one iota. Think about this for a moment. Overspending, lack of generosity, refusing to save, lack of contentment. We live in a world that's pretty much the name of, that summarizes our world. Overspending. The people of America are in debt, $2.2 trillion in indebtedness. And we're part of it. Lack of contentment. You remember back when? Maybe your grandmother, your great-grandmother, you go visit them. And you can go to their kitchen. They had nothing. There was no cookies, no candy, no nothing. And then they'd call you in about noon, and there'd be the biggest, best meal there. Because everything was made from scratch. Now listen to me carefully. Moses was telling a generation because he was going to be walking off the scenes pretty soon. But he said, "Don't you ever forget till your dying day that there is one thing and one thing only that God puts a premium on, and it's a life of obedience." You may be gifted and talented and have skills that are beyond measure, but if you're not obedient to God, your life, your home will go down, and it will go down miserably. You may be here this morning and you're not living a life of obedience. You need to respond to what God says. Father, thank You so much for showing us through Your word the wonderful prize, jewels, joys that are found in the man and the woman, the person, the church that obeys the living God. Father, we praise and bless Your name. Because when a person obeys You, they come to You and they confess their sins and they receive eternal life. When a person obeys You, they ask forgiveness of sin, and there is that forgiveness that they find and that joy, like David the king when he sinned against Bathsheba. When a person obeys You, there is nothing but life at its best, because that's what You desire for every man. Father, I pray for that person who's here this morning. I pray for that man who's here that needs to obey God by inviting Christ into his heart. For that woman who needs to be saved. For that other person who needs to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. And now guide us in this invitation is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.